Yo,
it's gonna be a great show today.
Yeah, what's up? What's good, y'all? Have a good day to you all. Hey, this show is gonna be interesting because I thought I watched wrestling. I missed something. I clearly missed something. And we're gonna get into it really soon. But hey, we gotta do it right though at the same time. So happy Sunday or whatever day you decide to listen. We recording on Sunday. That's why I'm wishing you a happy Sunday. And happy birthday to my guy Gilbert too, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? He's a wild Houston millionaire. We won't talk about that in depth on the live stream. But it is time.
Goddamn.
But it is time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. And that means it is time for the first Black Champ podcast. And I am still the pick. Hacksaw Him Duggan. Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast at. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FBC.POD. On Twitter at FBC. Underscore POD, Instagram, yes, FBC.POD. Follow the hashtag, yeah. FBC.POD. Shouts out to the comment section on First Black Champ. It was lit this week because of my disagreement about Rey Mysterio, you know, and the LWO. Wait, no, never write that too. Fuck the LWO. All right. I'm going to have more things to say about the LWO today, but get the merch. You see Camp got on the hoodie. So we're going to go ahead and we're just going to go ahead and get started now because I had this a little bit later in the show, but I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there now because Camp didn't see something that was announced this week about a new match at Backlash coming up. Why in the world are we getting Seth Rollins versus Omos?
My only thing that this could be about is to watching all the great white hopes beat up the biggest, blackest thing that exists in the company. That's all I got. And to be clear, I'm not making it racial because I want Seth Rollins to win. Seth Rollins is my guy, not Omos. Sorry, that's just how I feel. This is a waste of lifetime and energy. And we need to call an audible here. Like, I'd rather Seth Rollins wrestle Logan Paul homie that was in the dumb costume at WrestleMania.
KSI.
Yes, at least that is something that happens that makes sense for today. Like today's like world of wrestling, that is. Like, why? But you know what? See, and this is the trick bag that old Paul Levesque has put us in. He's not Triple H, he's Paul Levesque here. Because here's the trick bag, man. There was a time where we would say, oh man, it ain't no black people at the pay-per-view. It ain't like back in the 90s and 2000s. Oh man, when the black dudes ain't never getting high profile matches. Now look, we got another black talent going to Puerto Rico, premium live event. And he's gonna and got to and need to take this L from Seth Rollins, even though I don't want to see it.
I'm confused on what the two did to each other in order for this to take place.
Yeah. Because everything about this says that, I mean, based on Raw, it should have been Seth versus Miz in a rematch of some sorts.
Like, what did Omos do to make Seth say, let's fight, or vice versa? This can't be MVP. You know, saying, yo, let me get my homie a fight. And then they say, hey, let's go with Seth Rollins. And then something has to, like, they're going to have to explain this. This can't just be, this is like the grudge matches from, like, the random ass matches at pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, I mean, damn near every last one. Like, You think about it in the 80s, right? In the early 90s, when they just tried to load up the pay-per-views with random-ass matches, random-ass people. Like, Rick the Model Martel never attacked Coco Beware in order to set up WrestleMania 6 to open up.
That's true.
It was just like, yo, we got some great matches for you today. And then, like, Lord Alfred Hayes would be like, Coco Beware versus Rick the Model Martel. It was like, why Tito Santana ain't fighting Rick the Model Martel? Why is it Coco Beware?
Literally, what happened here? Happened.
This is Seth and Omos, fam. Because then, now he just lost to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar's moved on to Cody. So it's like he's going to lose to Seth Rollins by the stump. And then what do you do there? He just takes another L. I'm confused.
Yeah. As I had time to sit here, as you were just kicking facts, right? And I also thought, you know what? Even Cody versus Omos makes more sense to me because at least that's the guy that had the match with Brock Lesnar. But enough about me trying to make sense of the 6 degrees of separation, right? You know what this is about, man? I'm just going to say this. And I've kind of been saying this for about 2 years now, I want to say, especially on this show. Seth Rollins is on world tour number 3 of proving that everybody's best match is going to be with me. That's good. That's what this has to be about. Hey, look, Miz is on great match number 2, and it just happens to be with a Shield member, and it happens to be Seth Rollins, right? Logan Paul, Cody Rhodes. I forget some of the other people. Obviously, Austin Theory, Bobby Lashley. Seth Rollins is trying to prove that he just is the main event, no matter where the main event is or who the main title holder is. That's what this has to be about. And one of the few things that Seth Rollins has not done is beat somebody over 7 feet tall. That's literally one of the last things he hasn't done. Like, Big Cass didn't make it. Like, Baron Corbin 6'9". You know, like, so he has a mountain to climb here, so to speak. So that's the only thing I can think of. I think that he's here to double down on all of his wife's words in that interview, as well as his own, saying, I should be at the main event of WrestleMania. I should be the world champ. Because, hey, he's one of the few people in life that can say that kind of rhetoric at any time of the year and not be wrong. And this is just another opportunity to prove that he's not wrong, because he gets absolutely no real points for beating Omos. Like, he don't now enter the title picture. It's not, oh, wow, he's on a hot streak. Now we can see about getting him better competition. No, this is going to be one of the lower tier matches in Seth Rollins' WWE career, but it's going to be one of the highlights for Omos, and that's going to help him out. I mean, because there's no reason to do this 2 more times. So it has to be a definitive finish. They could honestly pre-show this. If they still do a pre-shows, I don't even know anymore. But yeah, this is just about Seth Rollins wrestling with anybody. He's got the best run of I can wrestle with anybody and make some magic happen. Bret Hart fans, don't talk to me right now. Don't talk to me right now. I'm not disrespecting Bret Hart. I'm just saying that Seth Rollins can make any match look like a main event, whereas Bret Hart just made everything look like a really great match. And that is the difference.
You know what, Kemp? That was a great speech.
But
it was awesome. But cut it out. I saw this and I thought it was a joke. I thought it was like April 1st was weeks ago, fam. What are we doing?
I
watch Raw. You watch Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember nobody getting smacked.
Nothing.
This no. literally was like, let's put the big nigga on the match.
Like, yo, like how many matches we got? Who was that WrestleMania? Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, we could do this. Like,
Omos.
Yeah, but
and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Like, and if he curb stomps him for the win, fam.
Oh, yeah.
You said it. You said it. You could future endeavor this dude.
Yeah. Hey, curb stomp from the second rope. I'm calling the finish. Seth Rollins curb stomp off the second rope for victory.
DM. This, and you know what's crazy? This might or might not have been the worst shit that I've seen this week in wrestling. Apparently, Goldberg is a little bit upset that the WWE ain't following through on Vince McMahon's handshake promise of a retirement match for Goldberg. Goldberg's a little bit upset. He's like, you can start the rumor mill now then.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. You can start it now. Because he feels like he deserves a retirement tour. Cam?
Yeah, well,
how do we feel about it? Go ahead.
You want the intro? My bad. Hey, wait, the thing about that, Goldberg, is you kind of messed up 3 years of wrestling with the Universal title itself. You know what I'm saying? Dog. They let you beat Brock Lesnar, Kevin Owens, Bray Wyatt. Like, and you want a retirement match? No, we never want to see you again. You sat here and stat stuff for about 5 years, and you want a retirement match? Bro, we know you ain't got it no more. Do you not remember your entrance on the way to Saudi Mania 5? Wasn't that Saudi Mania 5? When that man tore his ACL, MCL, PCL, the PCP, he tore everything on the way to the ring. And then couldn't sell correctly when MVP tried to hit him with the cane. He sat there and looked like, no, I'm hitting the leg that hurts. This is the excuse. Lose. Like, yo, you want to what? Bro, ugh. Call Eric Bischoff, bro. Call Eric, bro. That's what you should, what you should do. Go, hey, William. Hey, William Goldberg. Call Eric Bischoff, bro.
Who wants to see a retirement tour for somebody who's just not a good wrestler?
Hey, yo, you know what I mean? Like, hey, listen, even though I'm sure he's far from done, there will never come a day in time when we want to see a retirement match from Enzo. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you did your thing. You had his hype. That's cool. Yeah.
There's not anybody in any other organization that I want to see Goldberg go up against.
Yeah.
I don't. It's gonna be Goldberg versus Wardlaw, and AEW or Powerhouse Hobbs. I'm straight.
Dog, you know what? I was literally about to say, I don't even think Tony Khan would make that call for Goldberg. I don't think he would, because it's the things that make wrestling special that Goldberg has just never possessed. Like, he's great within a budget. Like, when obviously WCW was on top and the NWO, like, again, just classic wrestling, right? You got your super heels, you need your super face. And Goldberg just happened to be the right super face at the right time. And that's only because a lot of things with Sting was changing, Luger is ever changing, and Ric Flair was never really a face. We just love Ric Flair, right?
Right.
So, and Macho Man, yes, iconic, incredible, great human being, but even he flipped. But even then, Macho Man is never the super face to save the day. He's just the pretty cool white guy that beats people up.
Yeah.
So with that, you're kind of stuck with Goldberg, but he looks the part to make things, you know, watchable at that time. But here we are, man. It's 20-something years later at this point. And, bro, you have habitually let us know that you just don't got it, bro. And you are, and this is not a thing about ageism, you know, because Ric Flair wrestled at your age and he was actually pretty decent. All right. It ain't about ageism. Mm-hmm. It's just about nobody really came to see you, bro. You were never 178. No, you were never that. You were never that. They don't do that many house shows with you on it. They don't do that many. So, you know. Just relax, man. Just relax. Hey, look. No. Okay? From the Titan Sports front office. No. Go home. Watch ESPN Classic. That's all I got.
Know what? I ain't said this in a while, Kemp. But I'm going to say it a little bit differently. This is why I hate white men 18 to 34. Because them the only niggas that want to see a Goldberg retirement tour.
Like, I want to know what Goldberg's music.
Enough. Because that's the only people that want to see a Goldberg return. And Mexicans who ain't seen them. In person. Like, he can go to AAA at C-Mill right now. And they like seeing big white men. It could be fucking who? Give me a white person that's not in, like, the main event or the mid-card. Like, matter of fact, fuck it. Fuck it, you ain't even got to do that, Kemp. Big Show. The Big Show could go to AAA right now. And we know what we know with the Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
Big Show could go to Mexico right now and make a whole bunch of money.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know what I'm saying?
Because he's a big white man.
Right.
He big white man.
He'd be what? Wouldn't he be Elegante? Like since he's, you know, rest in peace to the legend. You know what I'm saying?
He'd be white Elegante. Goddamn. Give me another white dude. Big-ass white dude.
Another big-ass white guy. How about Albert?
Albert made millions in Japan, Jack.
Facts.
Albert went from being called a piercing of a dick. to going to Japan, being named Giant Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
And running through all them Japanese folks. So Goldberg could go to Japan and have a little retirement tour. Cause the Japanese gonna love seeing this white dude like spear somebody. And we don't need to see that shit here. Go to Turkey and wrestle.
Yeah. No, if it's really about wrestling,
go to, right.
But that's my beef too, though, Bang. It ain't about wrestling. It ain't, because this is what he won't do. It's what Ric Flair did, which is retire 5 times everywhere he ever wrestled.
Yeah.
Ric Flair ended his career in Nashville at the fairgrounds the weekend of SummerSlam, because he really wrestled and he really care about wrestling. The fact that
and didn't want to retire,
yeah,
and didn't still want was to. Like, I think I got one more match in.
It's like, nah, you want one more life support. But Goldberg, you are sitting here trying to convince us that you really care about a last match when really it's about your last payday. Because they would just not put you on Raw. They wouldn't just put you on SmackDown. It's like, no, they know to put Goldberg at a premium live event. You know what I'm saying? Because we need to make our money back for what, these 4 minutes of whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. And if you are really all about wrestling, my guy, there are so many other organizations that, you know, you might be a draw for. I'm personally calling BS. Look, Bang is giving you options. I'm telling you it may not be none. Because I don't know any, I don't know any other companies that for the tag that he's going to request, they're going to make that back. I mean, hey, remember what Braun Strowman was just going through? And I would say, on the scale, if they're not neck and neck, Braun Strowman is probably a step or two ahead of Goldberg now, just wrestling career-wise, just longevity speaking, longevity and match speaking.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not by no saying that in the heyday that Goldberg was not more popular than Braun Strowman ever has been. He's definitely been more popular. But if we're just dissecting the fame and we're sticking just to wrestling, the wrestling cachet for Braun Strowman is much higher than the one for Goldberg. And right now, he's a walking testament of, hey, yeah, I left and I threw them WWE prices out at these signings and at these other organizations, and no pop, no pomp and circumstance, no positive fanfare, and I had to get back. I can't see it being that much different for Goldberg at 50 plus anywhere else.
Goldberg ain't Sting at 55.
At all.
Goldberg ain't Ric Flair at 55.
At all.
Goldberg ain't Hulk Hogan at 55.
Nope, and y'all hate him.
Now, I agree with you to a point. Mm-hmm. It's the bag, though. And I get it, but somebody going to be dumb enough to be like, yo, I could get Bill Goldberg to fight my champion for $1 million.
Mm.
Like, if Impact could go ahead and scrounge up some money, they'd do Steve Macklin for Goldberg tonight. Just so they could say Goldberg had our belt.
Oh, so we are in agreement that any match that he's in, he has to win or we don't care.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. This is a Bang Be Knowing prediction.
Mm.
I don't want to see this match, y'all. No. Let me just say this now. I don't want to see this shit. But you know what match we really ain't see that caused a lot of friction in WCW and some backstage moments in WWE that we are now going to get a chance to see, because one's a free agent and one is in an organization that hates WWE? Hey, man, and AEW, y'all get ready for Bill Goldberg versus Chris Jericho.
Hey. And now you've sold me. I ain't gonna lie to you. Listen, if there is a match that needs to be seen by Goldberg, it is Goldberg versus Chris Jericho. Because Chris Jericho has been popping off for a minute about how he whooped his ass in the locker room. And everybody saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So, off top, I don't expect Chris Jericho to do business. And I want to see that. I want to see Chris Jericho not do business.
Yeah, because if I can remember, they did wrestle once in the WWE.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So one of them secondary pay-per-views, like Bad Blood or some shit.
Yeah.
But now these niggas is 50 plus.
Mm-hmm.
AEW, get ready. Get ready for Chris Jericho versus Goldberg. Or Bill Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of y'all pay-per-views. I mean, that's just going to be hilarious.
You know, even though, you know, they did have that moment in WWE. It was obvious that it wasn't quite over from some of the interviews and some of the podcasts that I've seen from specifically Jericho. Like, you know. He gave me that feeling like, you know what, but if old Bill said something to me crazy, I still do. You know, he kind of just gave me that feeling. He was like, no, he can still get his ass whooped, though. But hey, this is wrestling. I love wrestling. But see, now you sold me, though, Bang. I will say that. Now, look, even though I literally just said, I don't think Tony Khan is going to pay for Goldberg to do anything. If it was specifically Chris Jericho, and if they got to put it in the main event slot, even though it's not main event worthy in 2023 or 4 or 5, at least I want to see if Chris Jericho does not do business. That's the reason why I want to see it. Like, that's why I want to see it. I just want, like, no, you know what? No, you're not going over. No. I'm going to sock you in the face. And I'm going to walls of Jericho, and you're just going to have to really tap out. I'm here for that.
Oh, Lord. First black champ.
Yeah. Call Eric.
First black champ. Now, I mean, Lord Jesus. All right, let's go to Puerto Rico, man. Puerto Rico.
Let's go. Hey. But only I don't know the words. I ain't gonna sing it. I feel like I know it. Hey. Let's do it.
That's what we get in a couple of weeks with Backlash in Puerto Rico. And they got all the Boricuas involved, fam. The only, let me just say this now. WWE, I see what y'all doing with this pay-per-view. Mm. This is the same thing y'all doing with Saudi Mania. This is the same thing that y'all doing with the clash at the castle. Mm-hmm. This is the Puerto Rican version.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that. But I'm sorry, y'all. As much as I love Lil Bit, if you listen to the podcast, y'all know I love Lil Bit. Mm-hmm. Y'all know I love Selena Vega. Mm-hmm. Y'all know this. Rhea Ripley clotheslined the shit out of Kevin Owens on Monday.
Yeah, man.
She stood toe-to-toe with Solo on Monday. And y'all expect me to give Selena Vega any type of chance in Puerto Rico because she in Puerto Rico? Selena Vega's going to die in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. When they had her walk up to Adam Pearce to say, hey, I want to get a title shot in Puerto Rico. It's my home.
Yeah. I was Fun like, fact for me, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not mad at it. I mean, I knew she wasn't like white or like American, but I know that she was specifically Puerto Rico. Oh, wait, what?
Oh, yeah. Is she Puerto Rican?
Yeah. Oh, no. You were sipping. I was like, is she Korean? Like, what? but no. Oh, yeah, bad. No, I have no idea. I had no idea. I was like, oh, hey, this is a fun fact for me. Hey, that's what's up. You don't need this match, though.
Yeah, you don't need this match.
You know, you better off getting
like, all I'm thinking is, man, all I was thinking when I saw this match announced was, but she just clotheslined Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. Ain't no big burly Puerto Rican chick that they could bring in.
Yeah, well, they got her holding like the tag team titles.
You're right. And she maxed it, so it really don't even matter.
Oh, shit. Oh, you know, they do that all the time in the WWE, though.
She could be Puerto Rican for this match.
Yeah, she could be Puerto Rican for that match. It's like, oh, I did it for Latin Pride. I was like, oh, shit, okay, bad. Latin Pride, let's do it.
Okay. Okay. I mean, the LWO is going to be involved somehow. So there you go, which shit's terrible, fam. I really don't know why y'all like the LWO.
Oh, man.
The Did you see, it was a video, I forgot what social account it was. Mm. But they put the beginning of the LWO where Eddie Guerrero came into the ring while two Mexican wrestlers was wrestling.
Yeah,
don't remember the name. I know the one Mexican wrestler that had the face paint and he looked like Animal from Muffin Babies. It was him and the dude that looked like Negro Casas, but it wasn't Negro Casas. And Eddie Guerrero came up and they're like, "No, Eric Bischoff, what has he done for us? What have he done for you?" And my first thought was, well, he ain't did nothing for these cats because they not Eddie Guerrero or Rey Mysterio. They not even Psicosis or Juventud Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you picked two jobbers in WCW to say, what did Eric Bischoff do for you? Nigga, he got y'all wrestling on Nitro. That's what he done for you.
Word. That shit. Pesos, my brother.
Right, motherfucker. But then, you know, Eddie Guerrero, you know, he's saying, you know, here's the shirt, you know, LWO. And I was like, the fuck? That's all I said. It's like, the fuck? I forgot this is how this started.
Because this was after sold out, right? NWO sold out? Wasn't LWO after that?
Oh, yeah, it was after that. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know. And the one thing that I did not like is that they didn't play too much to that. Like, Eddie didn't play enough off of that moment. Like, when he did the entrance, the most disrespectful, most racist intro in wrestling history. And he didn't, like they didn't even use that moment to form the LWO. And that's what would have made it hard. That's what would have made it hard. If Hoovy, La Parka, Psicosis, and Ray ran down there like, yo, nah, we're not doing this. Like, Beaner, bro? Like, no, right. We're not doing this.
These gringos racist.
Yeah. You know what
LWO.
I'm yeah, that would have been hard. What they actually did, sorry. No disrespect, though.
Like these gringos racist. LWO. No, it was what Eric Bischoff done for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to Zelina Vega. Y'all know I love Zelina Vega.
Mm-hmm. We do.
But if this match is longer than 2 minutes, fam, like, again, Rhea Ripley clotheslined and made Kevin Owens do the twisty somersault. Made her look very strong. They're not supposed to believe her getting her Karana against, no, off the top rope against Rhea Ripley. Nah, bruh. Nah. This ain't Rey Mysterio versus Great Khali.
Nah.
Because that was terrible too, yeah.
Yeah.
But at least Rey Mysterio built something for himself by then.
For sure.
Nigga, Zelina Vega, all she won is the Queen of the Ring and the tag titles in a way that nobody even wanted them to have the tag titles.
Yeah, man. It's rough. Rough business.
Right.
We're winning a singles accolade and then getting a tag team title opportunity is kind of crazy. I just really sad thought about that. It should have been backwards. Like, her and Carmella should have been a team. Then she should have won the Queen of the Ring. Then she should have been solo. That's how much respect they got in your name, yo.
So as y'all hear, I'm confused about this match too. Like, man, this match is literally only taking place because it's in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, man.
This would not take place in Boise, Idaho. But,
yeah, man.
But the rest of the card is looking strong. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. I'm invested.
Mm-hmm.
I'm invested. It's funny because when you look at Brock Lesnar,
mm-hmm.
Brock Lesnar fights people we know is going to be a battle in Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
He fights people that's smaller than him Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. And then it's just those random people that he come up in there just to beat.
Mm-hmm. Omos.
Omos. Even though it's like a moment.
Yeah.
Where does Cody Rhodes fit in this? Is he Roman Reigns level? Roman Reigns is Seth Rollins level? Or is he like AJ Styles, Finn Balor?
I'm personally throwing him in that Seth and Roman category only because Cody Rhodes has proven to be the guy in every single title hunt while not having a title hunt. Like, that's kind of his gimmick, if you really think about it. Even in AEW, he's like, yo, I'm in the title picture, but no, I ain't, you know, really at the title yet. But I'm there. Like, I'm here. I'm present.
Yeah,
I think that's fair because he's bigger than AJ and him. Like, you know
what I mean? Yeah. I'm very interested in that match. Oops. I'm interested in the 6-man match, too. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see, like, how the Puerto Rican crowd is going to, like, who they gonna cheer. Mm. Like, I'm dead. I know what I'm about to say might sound racist.
All right, here we go.
But the minorities in this situation is supposed to be the bad guys. I don't see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Matt Riddle getting love in Puerto Rico.
Nah.
Am I overthinking this?
No, you're not. I was kind of curious as how this was going to go, too. Like, you know, we give Toronto and Montreal a lot of credit, but, you know, we ain't really seen... We ain't really seen what these other countries feel about their superstars. Like, yo, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm expecting the breakout star of the night to be Damian Priest, and I'm expecting them to be like, yo, maybe we should use him and Roman Reigns, like in June. Maybe we should do Damian Priest, Roman Reigns in June.
Man, all I'm saying is that even though they Samoan people could pass as black folks,
mm-hmm,
and Hispanic folks.
Exactly.
I expect the biggest pop of the night to be Solo. Hey. And I ain't gonna lie.
Them, hey, he's definitely in my top three.
Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, when they put up their ones, I expect everybody up in there to pop like Sammy got in Montreal.
Yeah. Hey, I'm with you.
I don't see why not. I don't expect the gringos, the white dudes from Canada, to get the love that the bloodline is about to get.
Yeah.
I
don't see it.
And here's the thing. If my memory serves me correct, Puerto Rico is a dangerous place for white people to wrestle.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Carlos Colon. That's kind of his fault, isn't it? getting bottles of pee and, like, feces thrown at people getting stabbed. You know what I'm saying?
I just got some texts from Jonathan Hood. Shouts out to the big homie. He said, one, it's a great call, Jericho versus Goldberg at Wembley. Forgot about Wembley. But he just said what I said about Puerto Rican fans. Puerto Rican fans back in the day will hunt down heels in hotels, throw bottles of piss at the heels of the 80s Carlos Colon era. I expect Sami Zayn to get hit with piss, y'all. Sorry.
Hey.
Like, I'm sorry. Like,
and actually, I'm okay with that because he needs a character change at this point. I'm sick of all the hugging. I'm sick of it.
What was that pay-per-view when it was like the Hart family versus like Shawn Michaels and the Kings.
Yeah, it was something like an insurrection though, wasn't it? Like, wasn't
it? It was something like that.
One of those titled kind of ones.
Yeah, one of those titled ones. But nah. I'm basically just looking at this and I'm like, do y'all really expect the Usos and Solo to get booed in Puerto Rico? I don't.
Yeah, no. Shoot.
Like, this is the closest pop they'll get to actually wrestling in Samoa.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Solo didn't get booed in Nashville. So I'm definitely not expecting him to get booed in Puerto Rico. And he beat up a guitar player. Like right. A real one. And they were like, oh, Solo! I'm like, what?
So
I was gonna be by myself for this one.
So basically, as you see, I'm looking at this right here like, Bloodline's coming out on top. Because if Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Riddle wins, somebody getting hit with piss. Somebody getting hit with piss, y'all. Somebody's getting hit with something. Now, to the match that has not been announced, but I believe it's going to be announced tomorrow. Okay. Raw's in Chicago. Bad Bunny will be out here. So I believe that it'll be announced tomorrow. Rey Mysterio and Bad Bunny versus Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest. Mm-hmm. Basically, Latin Kings versus SDs or 2-6s.
Hey, there you go. And what better place in Chicago to announce that? You know what I mean? Like, there's no, maybe East LA, but they ain't got no arena if I'm mistaken. So Chicago's got to do.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? What better place to do a Hispanic in gang fight?
You know what I mean?
Than the west side of Chicago, y'all.
Yep. Hey.
They should just take that bitch from the Rosemont Horizon to United Center and just go ahead and have that announced right there. Matter of fact, you know what would be dope, WWE? Look at me, y'all. I'm just a dude from Chicago, born and raised. Don't mind me, y'all. But if Damian Priest and Dominic Mysterio don't end up in Pilsen, jumping on Bad Bunny and Rey Mysterio, if the fight don't start there, like if there's not a video of this is what happened yesterday, Rey Mysterio and Bad Bunny was in the Little Village area of Chicago when Dominic and Damian Priest showed up and a fight broke out.
Oh, man.
WWE, y'all missed the boat. I'm telling y'all, I can help y'all get as cultured as possible here. And then later on that night, that's when y'all announce the match. And then they get to fighting in the Allstate Arena. It would be no, I'm telling you, I know Backlash got to be sold out. But if this shit starts in Pilsen, the Little Village, to prep this fight, do you know how many Puerto Rican families is going to be calling back to Puerto Rico? Like, yo, shit. It's going to be there. Y'all got to pull up. Y'all got to pull up. Biggest match of the night. And here's another moment, fam. If Los Boricuas does not show up at Backlash, this is bullshit, y'all. I need Savio Vega, Jesus, and all them niggas that's alive to get they pop in Puerto Rico.
Savio.
And I know we've been talking about Pedro Morales. I need Roman Reigns to do a promo, a videotape promo. Him talking about how he's about to pass y'all Puerto Rican icon, Pedro Morales.
You know what I'm saying?
I need that.
Yeah, hey, tribal chief way or no way. I'm here for it. I'm here for it all. I'm here for it all.
Yeah.
We do need,
the hood just said we need a Pilsen street fight. We do.
Absolutely.
Look, let me tell y'all this, Puerto Ricans. White people have had hosted street fights. And damn near every goddamn promotion.
For sure.
There's been a hosted street fight. Along with a Chicago street fight.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Legion of Doom.
We need a
and Pilsen. And the Road Warriors.
Yep. We need a Pilsen street fight, fam. We need all of the Hispanics to be watching these Hispanics fight. And I need some SDs, Latin Kings, some 2-6s to not know what's going on. And the jump.
Hey Dominic, you think you so tough, bro?
Right.
Run your ass.
That's all I'm saying.
Right over there.
If Dominic Mysterio is so tough,
He needs to go to Little Village and have all of the Mexican kids behind him, like Tuco Scorpio had black kids behind him.
Hey, but and with all this happening now, and now you got me wanting to see the part where Rey Mysterio ain't got his mask on and he out there shaking up. And then this on Twitter though. It's just Twitter. And then the WWE exclusive. It's like, this is what the Rey promo I'm talking about. This is what the Rey promo meant. Oh, he's shaking up with Doom.
Right.
Rey he don't care those people. Oh shit. Right.
Hey, okay. Man, this is when first Black Champ goes off the rails.
Yeah.
Because we get a little bit too comfortable.
Hey, man, life is real, man.
Like, yo, Rey Mysterio is going to be out in Pilsen without his mask on, fam. Y'all.
It's like, you see me? No mask up. S.A. 619.
But Dominic, if you real, though.
Yeah, if you real.
If you real, we need a vignette.
Yeah, man.
We need a vignette. At you. At a Mexican joint in Pilsen, like you with the teardrop, like, yo, this is my home.
Yeah. Hey.
As somebody who went to a party on 26 and Kaminsky and had to make the call to let the homie know, yo, I'm sliding, let your people know.
Yeah.
And when I walked in, they looked at me like, who's the black dude?
Yeah.
Oh, that's my coworker. Oh, we heard so much about you, fam. And his mom throwing tacos in my face and shit. Telling you, Dominic, if you real, WWE, look at me. Look at me. If y'all real with this Dominic Mysterio shit, Damian Priest and Dominic Mysterio need to be in Pilsen. Filming a vignette that y'all gonna air tonight. Y'all gotta make this shit as cultural as possible. Y'all going to Puerto Rico to wrestle? Y'all gotta make this as cultural as possible. Other than New York, there's no bigger Puerto Rican community than Chicago, goddammit. Matter of fact, don't even go to Pilsen. Go to Humboldt Park. I wanna see Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest ask somebody if they GD or not. Let's make this real, fam. Let's make this real. Make this real, y'all. Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest is going. They might be in Chicago today.
That's true.
Go make a vignette. A black dude walk past. I'll be the black dude. And you got to say, UGD? UGD? That's how the vignette got to start off. Because Dominic and Damian Priest need to understand that all of y'all in Humboldt Park think we GDs. Make this cultural. Maybe it's Bobby Lashley walk past or Cedric Alexander.
Lord Lashley. Lord Lashley in the shy. You know
he's gonna be in the shy too. Bobby Lashley, almighty gonna be at the crib tomorrow, y'all.
All is well, man.
Almighty gonna be at the crib. I don't think y'all understand. I don't think y'all understand. It's a lot of cultural that's going on. We need it.
Poor man.
We need it.
And this is why Chicago is one of the greatest wrestling cities in the world, ladies and gentlemen. If you were unaware, this is why. This is why. This is because life, reality, wrestling, gang culture, food, cuck, everything that you can imagine in wrestling.
What
happens?
What did you say? Cuck, fam.
Yeah, cuck. Yeah. Bobby Lashley is a vice lord and a cuck. Was he not both? All of it happened in wrestling, and it all happens in Chicago. All of it.
Oh, man.
It sounded wild, but I'm on pace.
Oh man,
like I'm on pace and I'm on point.
Hey,
I promise.
Hey, man, We jumped off the rails here.
Hey, man, you know what? You still listen to the First Black Champ podcast. Right. It is a wrestling podcast where we talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. But y'all just proved that.
But y'all just learned a lot. Basically, we just told y'all that Dominic Mysterio either and Damian Priest has to go to Humboldt Park, Pilsen, a little village. And if he goes to any of those places, if he sees a black person, he has to walk up on them and be like, UGD, UGD, we just told y'all Selena Vega is going to get hurt at the hands of Rhea Ripley in Puerto Rico. We don't want that for her. And Bobby Lashley is going to be able, the almighty Bobby Lashley is going to be able to see all of his people in Chicago if he desires to do so. All's well.
There it is.
Ain't no podcast giving it to y'all like this.
Ever. Ever. Not just today. Ever.
Ever. All right? Ever. It's all about culture, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Pilsen Street Fight. Make it happen. we crazy as hell. I want to know your thoughts on Bronson Reed. Mm. We saw a little bit of Bronson Reed in NXT. Mm-hmm. I know you were pissed off at him until he actually defeated Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah.
But now he's in the main roster. He's on the main roster, actually in a program with Bobby Lashley. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Bronson Reed as you see him right now?
And this is just based on what I see right now and just my wrestling knowledge, I guess you could say. What I see right now, until something different happens, is Brodus Clay 2.0. Now, to be fair, Bronson Reed has already won more than Brodus Clay. So I do have to throw that out there. However, I don't, I never know how to gauge the mobile 300-pound guy anymore in this era of wrestling, because what has become a almost notorious thing is for the big 300-pound guy that's very mobile, active, and impressive, gets on a scorching hot streak, and then they get into that one feud that could be the defining moment, and then they disappear, or they do some drastic character change, or they're just not used. So I don't want to wish any bad on Bronson Reed. I mean, hell, he beat up Johnny Wrestling, you know what I'm saying? Off top, we could be fourth cousins just off that, you know? So I just hope for the best. I will say, though, putting him in a program with Bobby can't hurt. And I say that because I think we're kind of in that space where, you know, Bobby Lashley can be an enhancement talent too. And I think that he's been on a mission to try to prove that over the last year and a half. You know, I don't think Bobby Lashley was necessarily pleased with just being the big strong guy that was doing the powerhouse matches. I think that he wants to be known as a guy that's like, no, you know, you can put me in the ring with anybody and I'm going to make them look good. I'll make myself look good. I don't have to get over, but people know I should be over. And like, I think he's become very cerebral, or much better at being cerebral in the ring and with the way he attacks matches now. So I really see this as a positive overall, but right now it still gives Brodus Clay 2.0 vibes because they did the same type of stuff for Brodus Clay.
Yeah. I do see Brodus Clay, but not fuckadactyl.
Yeah.
Brodus Clay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't see that. Now that I'll be like, okay, now you playing in my face. Like, come on, bro. It's like, we don't need to do this.
Like, yeah, I don't see, like, when he hit us with that, I'm just a nice guy shit. I was like, man, I just want somebody to take that Vader role, fam. Mm. When the last time we saw a big nigga like that and was afraid?
Man. Sure, to be real, Brock Lesnar.
And not even really Brock, because Brock, like, swole. I'm talking about, like, the big fat nigga.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I got you.
Who the big fat fuck that we scared of? That we would never say fat fuck in front of? Like, Vader is dead and still scares me, fam.
Yeah. Yeah, like, there's been some fat white guys I've been disgusted by. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bastion Booger used to disgust me.
Right.
Albert disgusted me. Like, I was like, you look like hair on your body. You look gross, but I wasn't scared.
Yeah, I need the Vader vibes, fam. Mm-hmm. He ain't got to have some shit shoot out of an elephant tusk machine thingy. He ain't got to, you know, say, he ain't got to do the V shit, however you do it. Mm-hmm. There you go. He ain't got to do that shit. I can't. Yeah, I got to try to fix my shit before. It's like.
That look like you trying to fist twice.
Right. trying to. Anywho. I need a Vader vibe, fam. I wanted it to be Otis, but now he's Otis.
Yeah, man.
So I need Bronson Reed to give me my Vader fix. It has not been a chubby, big, strong white dude that we have been afraid of since Vader in 1996. Mm. We need those vibes. He got the move set.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, even with the splash off the top rope, I want to be afraid of Bronson Reed. If I could tell Bronson Reed, like if I had Bronson Reed's ear, I would say, fam, you from New Zealand. You talk well. You big and compact. You are Vader. You are Bam Bam Bigelow. Mm-hmm. I need to be afraid of you. I need my kids to see you walk down the ring and the WWE zoom in on their face when they had a what the fuck is this dude look. Yeah. I don't need you to be one man gang because the one man gang was never scary.
No.
The one man gang was built from Halsted Street, Chicago.
Right.
And he looked like back of the yard, Chicago. He didn't look like Halsted Street. He didn't look like the Jew town I knew. I need Bronson Reed to be scary. Bring back the scary heels. You know what? I'm a sidebar a bit because we don't got that much left on the docket. Mm-hmm. But I'm a sidebar real quick just to say the Undertaker fucked it up for us when it comes to that. When I think about it, because the scary heel turned into the supernatural heel. Like in the 80s, we had heels that we was legit scared of. Mm-hmm. One Man Gang at a point we was legit scared of. Bam Bam Bigelow started off as a face in some places, but as a heel, he started off as a monster heel. Because he got tattoos on his head.
Yeah.
Vader is scary. He might just Stan Hansen was scary because he just beat your ass. Like, this is a crazy white Texan.
Yeah.
He might shoot you in the ring.
Yeah. He also spoke incoherently. Like he spoke like the most functioning, unfunctional alcoholic. That's what scared me about Stan Hansen.
Lex Luger. Yeah.
I'm like, oh. I don't know what he's saying, but somebody's gonna get hung.
But when The Undertaker worked, everybody wanted to be a supernatural heel. To your point that you said a while back on this pod, nobody wanna be a real heel. Mm. I'm going to add to that. Nobody wants to be a scary heel. Scare these kids.
Yeah.
Make these kids shit on themselves. Make these kids grab their parents. And hold they daddy and they mommy tight when you walk down the ring. Had them cry when you defeat their favorite wrestler and throw their ass to the damn through the mat.
Yeah.
Be that.
Be scared. Man. To your point, I just want to say this real quick. Yeah, there are too many asshole heels. Yeah. Like, I know you don't like me. What are you gonna do about it? What are you gonna do about it? It's like, no, I wanted to walk in the room and you like, oh. Yeah, whoa. like, what happened to that? What happened to that? Hey, dude in here. I'm going to go ahead and get out. I'm going to get out the way. Because oh, that's wild. He'd be on some wild shit. Yeah.
who's the scary heels now? The only scary heel that I could think of is Pico. in Impact. Mm. He really around here walking like he goddamn Frankenstein. Him and Sami Callihan, I really think he crazy.
Okay. like is this going too well?
It's just going too well, fam. Sami Callihan, I'm 40. Sami Callihan is a white dude I don't think I want to have a conversation with. Mm. He strikes me as a dude that would just hit his head with a metal something in the middle of a conversation. Like, you would be at a Comic-Con and you'd be like, oh, man, Sami Zayn, what's going on? Me and Sami Zayn. And Sami Callihan, what's going on, man? You good? You straight? Yeah, you know, everything's going well. Really want to get this Impact Championship. Shh.
It's like, fam. I was like, all right, I'm out.
Did you just block? You know, I don't even want your autograph in the picture.
Yeah.
You sure? I could dap it, and then I put Sami Callihan and Pico are the last, to me, the last of a dying breed of scary heels. And Pico kind of sometimes twinge on that supernatural shit. Mm-hmm. So, but I'll say him and Sami Callihan are the last of a dying breed on scary heels. There's heels that give you scary moments. Mm-hmm. But again, I need you to be afraid of this normal looking white dude. Mm-hmm. But this normal looking white dude will beat your ass and do some dastardly shit to you in the ring. Cactus Jack. I need a Cactus Jack back.
Yeah, I ain't gonna front. I was scared of Cactus Jack.
Right. And then when Vader and Cactus Jack wrestled each other, it was two scary motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Something had to give.
Yeah. No, that's real. That's very real. You know what? Even though I know we live in a very sensitive time, we got to get back to the days of where that random fan got their ass beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, like somebody got to get choked. Like, no, it ain't no chop, no accidental hit. Like, I want somebody to be like in the wrestler face booing. And he just like, what? And he snatched him up. And then all of a sudden you see fear in his face. And then he slammed the shit out of him and started choking him. Because that builds fear. It's like, oh, okay. We better leave dude alone. This is the wrestling is real moment.
Right.
And I do think that we need that. There's, again, I'm not a proponent of wrestlers being on social media for the most part because everybody looks so human. Everybody's trying to look so normal. And that's not what I pay to see, you know? So I do think that no matter what, we got to come back into a time where that element of fear factor kicks in, that element of, yo, I believe in this shit. Like, you know, just obviously just watching the docs, I was like, man, you know what, that a lot of things about 70s and 80s wrestling and even early 90s wrestling is everybody kind of says the same thing. It was just like, we really made you believe that it's going down at any moment, anywhere. And you had a lot of the men and the women in wrestling that stuck to that script. Like, I love hearing the fact that the Macho Man was literally the Macho Man, Randy Savage, everywhere he went. Like, there was no deviation. And I think we need more people like that. It can't just be MJF. Like, we got to have somebody else that's about that life. That life of, yo, no, if I'm a heel, I'm a heel everywhere. I'll slap your pops. It can go up. Whatever you're trying to do, I'm trying to do it. And I think that will instill that fear factor. I think that will instill that, okay, we ought to leave homie alone and all of those other things. If we find some people that want to get back to that.
Yeah. I miss the scary hill. I want to be afraid of somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, I need the scary music. I need the scary moveset. Mm. I need all of the... like, for example, War Games. I even put Sid Vicious in the scary heel category.
Oh, hell yeah. Especially like WCW Sid Vicious? Yeah. Bruh.
I put him in there. The thing about Sid Vicious was, what was he going to do in the cage?
Mm-hmm.
What could he do in the cage? Like, you know, a scary heel when there's a specific match and you like, what the fuck gonna happen in there with him?
Yeah.
Triple H versus Cactus Jack was not just good because of what happened in the ring. It was before it got to there in the first place. Because you really looked at this like, damn, Triple H about to get his ass fucked up. Because he going against Cactus Jack in a whole ass cage.
Right.
I believe that Otis could be a scary heel. I believe that Bronson Reed could be a scary heel in the WWE. I think that Powerhouse Hobbs can be a scary heel in AEW. Instead of him being involved in this like TMZ style ass shit. I can't think of nobody else that could really be like a scary heel, but like, I'm trying to think of some more in the '80s. Like the One Man Gang was scary for a little bit. Mm-hmm. What's my man name? Missing Link type niggas.
Yeah, I mean, shit, I ain't gonna front. And maybe this is because I just had, you know, my own hangers about the South even visiting, but I thought the Big Boss Man was scary. Fat white cop from Georgia, like, hey, that scared the shit out of me. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was scared of the Big Boss Man for a minute. Like, I was conflicted when Nails came out there and did what he did. I'm like, oh, well. But this is the kind of cop that beat up black people, ain't it? I was like, yo, boy, you gonna serve hard time? Hey, the Big Boss Man won his jobber matches. He handcuffed the black man to the ropes and beat him down. Hey, listen. Fear, right? Look at my face. Fear.
You ain't lying. You ain't lying. Because when Nails came out there and whooped Big Boss Man's ass, I was like, I'm gonna beat his ass, man. Yeah. And I had the Big Boss Man and Akeem action figure.
Mm.
And I still was like, yo, beat his ass, fam. Beat his ass. Man. But Nails was a scary heel.
Yes.
Like, even though we was like, go for it. He beat the shit out of Virgil. And we was like, yo, hold on, fam.
Listen, man. I ain't gonna lie, man. There's there's a couple black beatings that took place in wrestling that did make me look at some people different.
Oh, yeah. So, question. Who is your favorite scary heel?
Favorite scary heel. Well, since we threw him in the conversation, and I do think he fits, I mean, it's honestly a tie between Sid Vicious and Vader. I think WCW just mastered the scary heel in the 90s, just to be honest with you. Like, I can't really... Obviously, you know, a lot of wrestling is just before my time, but I could not stop watching, with, man, I never want that to happen to me more than I watch Sid Vicious and Big Van Vader in the 90s. They're a dead heat tie for me, personally. I mean, and look, I thought he broke Sting's back forever and killed him. So Vader can never not be scary and in the top two, not two conversation. I watched Sid Vicious hurt somebody on accident, but kept going like he really meant to do it. And I'm like, man, is this great character or who just not care about dude? Like, there was a reason why everybody went outside and tried the powerbomb. And it all lies with Big Van Vader and Sid Vicious.
The masters of the power bomb.
There it is.
Vader is my scariest. Vader, to me, is the epitome of scary heel. Mm. He squashed Sting in a title match, fam.
Mm-hmm.
Vader was supposed to end Hulkamania. I don't care what nobody say. Vader was supposed to end Hulkamania. Mm-hmm. They did a whole damn thing with Ric Flair leaving his family to talk to Mean Gene Okerlund. to get to Super Brawl to wrestle a man who might end his career.
Mm-hmm. That limo might as well be in a hearse that night.
Mean Gene Oakland had us thinking Ric Flair was going to die tonight. So everything that happens in this limo is his last words.
Mm.
And he ended up winning. And it was miraculous. Vader paralyzed the man. Vader powerbombed the shit out of Cactus Jack. Vader is the scariest heel of all time to me.
Mm.
And let me preface this again. We ain't talking supernatural shit, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm.
We're not talking about no somebody do some shit and some fire end up over there. We're talking about no supernatural shit. We're talking about straight, scary, bad guy.
Mm.
This dude has no powers other than what's in his fist that's going to fuck you up. And to me, the Undertaker character fucked all of that up. Because it went from scary dude. Because think about it. Think about it. Yokozuna. Yokozuna was scary as shit. Don't give a fuck what nobody say. Yokozuna was scary as shit. Until he went against The Undertaker. Because when he went against The Undertaker, it went from him being the mobile 500-pound dude that'll fuck you up to him being scared of a coffin.
Mm.
And then The Undertaker died and shot up. Nobody's scared of Yokozuna really after that.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're right.
But I'm talking about brutally beat. Like, just go look at, I forgot which Super Brawl it was or what event it was, but just go look at Sting versus Vader and how that crowd was sitting there like, damn, Sting, don't get up. Stay down. Stay down, fam. No, this is knee-deep in Surfer's Sting, fam. This is Sting at the height of his powers.
Yeah.
And folks was like, just take the pin, G. Because Vader was whipping his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like the strap match with Vader and Sting.
Bro.
The strap match with Stan Hansen and Lex Luger. Like, we need to get back to that, man. That matter of fact, glad that we did the sidebar.
Because
That's what I thought that Baron Corbin was going to kind of become when he got with JBL.
Man, that would have worked a lot of wonders for him, especially right now as we're looking at.
He didn't have to be a Blackjack. I didn't want him to be Blackjack Corbin.
Yeah, no.
But JBL, while he was not scary to me, I knew JBL was going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
He wasn't for the games.
That's an underrated element in wrestling, too. Because just because you a badass don't mean that you can really beat up people. Man. It just means that you down the fight. It's like, oh, man, I'll fight whatever. What's up? Now, you might get beat up still.
Yeah.
But the APA was imposing. But even as Justin Hawk Bradshaw or as Blackjack Bradshaw or APA or the Acolyte, whichever one, the look on JBL's face when he was on the way to the ring, man, oh, man, hey, he about to break somebody's nose. Like, yo, like, somebody's going to get a fractured collarbone and he does not care.
Dead ass. So we need the scary heels back, ladies and gentlemen. Make my kids shit on themselves when you walk past them.
Word.
Like, do that shit. Do that shit like that. And let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. I remember before we get out of here, this was an easy bang me moment. Bang me knowing moment, ladies and gentlemen. This was cake bang me knowing. We knew Trish Stratus was going to come out there and she was going to say what she said. Basically, Trish Stratus accused Becky Lynch of taking too much credit for the women's revolution and not thanking her in particular, and how because of Trish Stratus, you know, all of this shit is going on. I thought that was very easy. But also, Trish Stratus apparently wrestled WrestleMania with a torn hamstring or a partially torn hamstring. Mm. So, shouts out to that. But how did you like Trish's promo on Raw? And what can you expect going forward?
I think overall what the promo was supposed to do, I thought that was great. I've just really not been the biggest fan of how Trish delivers promos. I think everything was on point. Like, the things that were said and were supposed to be said, I think that was great. Honestly, I do. I just think it was just under-delivered a touch, man. And I tried not to be so hard on a lot of the women that give promos, because women by nature just have softer voices, right? But when you look at how Charlotte cuts a promo, or how Rhea cuts a promo, and even how Becky Lynch cuts a promo, you know, there's a way to be heard, there's a way to be felt. And there are some other women in time that have been able to really deliver a promo. Stephanie McMahon, I think, is one of the best promo cutters in this era, if I'm just being honest. I don't think anybody woman-wise, spot for spot, cuts a promo better than Stephanie McMahon. So she's kind of like the blueprint for women cutting promos for me.
Okay.
So with that said, I love what it was supposed to be, but I think what separates that moment from being top five of the year versus a moment that we may forget by SummerSlam is the way Trish delivered it.
Mm-hmm. I'm mad at that. I'm interested to hear what Becky Lynch got to say.
Yeah.
Now Becky Lynch got to be like, fuck y'all old bitches.
Word.
Becky Lynch got to be like, fuck you. Fuck Lita. Fuck Tori. Fuck Jacqueline. Fuck Terry Runnels. Fuck Stacey Keibler. Fuck Michelle McCool. Fuck Layla.
Here's where I am confused, though. In her promo. And maybe I just heard it wrong. Because it feels like Trish Stratus turned on Becky Lynch because she's tired of hearing how she, you know, the one. But it also sounded like she turned on Lita for kissing these young girls' ass.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, cool. Because, again, I asked the question. Do we want to see Lita versus Trish in 2023?
No.
Okay. Because no way do we even need Trish versus Becky Lynch drawn out 60 days. So, Trish, Lita, and Becky going 90 days?
Yeah, nah.
I don't know.
Like, Trish, what Trish got to do is nominate somebody to be her hand.
Mm.
Like, she got to nominate somebody. Like, I hate to say, like, the name I'm about to say.
It's probably the same one I'm thinking of, too. That was funny.
But she got to go get, like, Lacey Evans to do her dirty work.
Oh, that wasn't the name I was expecting, but, hey, I respect that one.
Right. It can't be Dana Brooke. Nah.
Hey, but look, she the one with nothing to do.
And she going to continue having nothing to do. Trish Kapoor, look, man, y'all been holding this chick back because y'all don't like her because of her politics.
Mm.
But can't nobody fuck with her in this ring. And I got her. No, I can't be Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton is slated for some other shit. Mm. Not as no hand for Trish. Trish needs somebody that's going to whoop somebody's ass and not take no shit. She needs a female version of a scary heel.
Yeah. Also, hey, but Lacey Evans, another woman that cuts a really strong promo for a woman. Like, I'm always big on voices, man. Voices are always going to be the make or break for me. That's in music, that's in movies, that's in wrestling. And like you put that kind of promo on Lacey Evans, the tide turns for her.
Yep. Nice. So that's where I'm at with it. So
I dig it.
So, man, that's about it, man. You got any gear in the MCs?
Man, you know what? Honestly, not this week because we're still waiting for the draft, but I am, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to answer the question that was earlier, because it actually falls in what my guaranteed MT was last week. It says, this is from Donnie. Donnie says, y'all think the Usos win on Friday? And if they lose, how would you do it? Well, I'm going to stick to the script of my guaranteed MT from last week, which is I got the Usos getting shipped to Raw, because if y'all notice, Paul Heyman, when he cut the promo speaking to Judgment Day, he was actually talking to the Usos. So that restored my faith. I was like, oh, wow, no, this really about to happen. I see, you know, something. It depends. It depends on winning on Friday. Because how I had it framed last week was, Usos getting shipped to Raw, Tribal Chiefs orders, and that's that. But I do have them being specifically the Raw Tag Team Champions. So with that said, I expect, what do they call it, chicanery? You know what I mean? So, something to that degree. Because no way the Usos, I think, take an L on either draft night. But I think the Tribal Chief decision has already been made, and now you have that dynamic. Because I do agree, and I forgot who else said it. Oh, yeah, Aubrey, the Bloodline story is getting stale now. I'm actually with you on that, because they have no new foils. I don't count Matt Riddle, and Matt Riddle's already lost. So you know what I'm saying? Twice, right. He came back for a whole week of run-ins and then a whole week of losing. So that's where Matt Riddle is. We need to do something else. The something else, in my view, Tribal Chief sending the Usos to Raw while Solo, Heyman, and Roman run SmackDown. And that is the new Bloodline story, if you will. That's the extra leg of the Bloodline story, because there's just more story to tell with, honestly, more people out of Solo's way. You know, you can't have main event Jay, the Usos, and then Solo Sikoa. Like, you got to make room for Solo to really get his thing going. And part of that is also moving the Usos to another show.
I think it's a little bit of a question because of Night of Champions. Mm-hmm. Night of Champions is in Saudi Arabia. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn don't go to Saudi Arabia.
There it is.
So I expect the Usos to get the belts back.
Yeah.
Simple as that. if you want to defend all of the belts, I expect them to get the belts back. Mm-hmm. So transitional champion type shit. And still be able to drop one of those belts. Because mm-hmm. I'm still sticking with my prediction that they will separate those belts.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, though, it really doesn't matter to me for them to be at Night of Champions as the champs anyway. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that is really the celebration of Roman Reigns reaching 1,000.
Mm, there it is.
That's the big focus. Mm-hmm. Who he's going to face on his 1,000th day as the Universal World Heavyweight Champion. Undisputed Universal World Heavyweight Championship. That to me is the biggest thing. Who is he going to wrestle, and is he going to lose on that day? Because
mm-hmm.
I think once you hit 1,000, even though I believe that they're going to have him pass Pedro,
mm-hmm.
you have to put him against somebody
mm-hmm.
that's going to be, so to say, a perfect opponent
mm-hmm.
for him to face where it's in doubt. And could possibly win it. So my prediction is that Night of Champions,
Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins will finally happen.
Oh.
And there is a legit possibility that he could lose that night.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna say Bobby Lashley.
Nah. Okay. I think they're gonna pull the trigger on Seth and Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
Even though I believe Roman Reigns will come out on top, it will not shock or surprise me if Seth Rollins leaves Night of Champions on May 27th as the Universal World Heavyweight Champion. I still think he's going to beat that 61 days after that. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised.
I dig it. No, man. I mean, hey, again, you just can't bank on a guy without the title being as hot as he is right now next year, no matter who it is. I mean, this is why you do pull the trigger. You make the fights happen. You know what I mean? Like, because, man, do we, the wrestling community, believe in Seth Rollins? Yeah, absolutely. But, man, to say that he will be at this new peak next March, you can only hope. You can only hope. Without a title, you can only hope.
Yeah, look, man. I even say this and then we're done. If your prediction is correct and Seth Rollins curb stomps Omos from the second rope, how can you not give him a title shot a couple of weeks later?
There's that. Hey. Well, yeah, man. Hey, sorry, no guarantee for me this week. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look, the draft is coming up. Triple H and Paul Levesque have made a lot of proclamations and guarantees. So I ain't going to make none. All right? We're going to see how this draft goes. I want to be shocked. I want to feel away off top. I want to feel away come next Friday and then the following Monday. And I hope you do too, man. Enjoy wrestling, man. Stop being a bitch. Enjoy wrestling. Yeah. You did what I'm saying? Hey, man, we appreciate y'all for checking out the show this week. You know, we definitely always appreciate everybody that tunes into the live in real time and comments with us and shares with us. And of course, on the groups, the likes, the comments, the shares, the links, the photos, if you're out, if you're purchasing merch, if you're doing anything involving this first Black Champ community, it's greatly appreciated that you share it with us. Obviously, Bang and I could do the show all by ourselves, but you being a part of this community makes it that much greater, and we appreciate you. So always remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the first Black Champ podcast, Pick VPB, and we are out.